Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
When I say, should we bring our swimsuits? You say, well, yeah, weather permitting.
With Dusty Hera.
I didn't get into college. Check me out. I'm kick-ass.
And Cam Cleland.
I almost joined a frat in college myself, but they tried to make me chug a 40.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Put my nuts on the table, and then I did the damn thing.
Good morning, happy Thursday, Mr. Cleland. That means it is...
Well, isn't it the day before the day before?
You're damn right it is.
It's also another good day around these households. Ew. It's the day that your significant other gets younger. And stays the same age over and over.
Is it leap year?
It's leap year. It's constant leap year.
I thought that's in February.
No, it's happy birthday to my significant other. She's 25?
29 again.
29 again. 29. Happy birthday, my dear. Her name is Mindy.
Hey.
She's not awake.
Happy birthday, Mindy.
She's probably not. She's probably... No, she might be asleep. She's
thought
teacher.
That counts.
She's teacher. She's up. She's
hey,
up.
Buck, you get this. You pull it. You send it to Cam in an email. And Cam, that's what you just send your wife.
Yeah. You do that. You make
got
sure.
It.
So I looked into this and I thought, man, there's a lot of Scorpios out there. And you notice that there's a lot of Scorpios. Then I trace it back. Oh, that fake Valentine's Day day.
Valentine's babies.
So we're thinking about, you know, like the Eagles, how many children were born. What was it, last week?
Yes, it is.
Because it's... of the Eagles, Super Bowl children.
Yeah.
Really special.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed how many birthdays are in this next 2 weeks? Week and a half.
Yeah.
It is all circled around the hunker down of February 14th.
Yep. When it gets, well, and it's just like a kill cabin fever action.
I think so. I think that's what it is.
Whoop, whoop.
So all you Scorpios out there, anybody that's having a birthday, enjoy that day with my, I don't want to call up the old lady because that's really rude.
My old lady.
So I send in, you know, guys do that all the time. So happy birthday to my wife.
Meh. Well, happy birthday, Mindy.
Yeah.
An educator, molder of minds.
Minds for molding.
Yep. Yep. That's it's
so
a
it is
day.
The day before the day before. But if you're the Seahawks, it's the day of. Confused yet?
Yeah, that is a little confusing.
And I had to walk into a Coug heckle this
yes,
morning.
Yes, you did. This
I'm
is,
taking a picture
happens.
Of it so you can see somebody left on a notepad, not just somebody, Mr. Patrick Harris, who does the baseball show with Mike Lynch.
Yes.
And Mike Lynch is a Syracuse Orange. Which I flipped my disdain for the Orange to a partial disdain because their head coach is wonderful.
Yeah, we got some Babers action that we should
Dino
probably
Babers
talk about today.
Was great. He was great on Golic and Wingo this morning. Yep. He is now, just like you, my favorite for the USC job.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Dino.
I want him.
Go get it. On the
He's
day
great.
That Clay Helton says that his job is safe, he feels he has great job security at USC.
Yeah, so I was
Clay
heckled.
Helton said that.
Heckled. See, look at this. This is a typical Coug right here. Already looking past Whoa. This week. Just not going to pay attention to any game this week. Going to go, 9 days, winter is coming. I mean, I get it. Game of Thrones threw out their teaser trailer picture for everybody.
Yep.
And he went right into the winter because we do know that the Cougs can't win unless it's snowing.
Patrick Harris made that heckle for you.
Yes,
he of Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch. He is a Coug. He also hashtagged a handwritten note to you, Minshew for Heisman.
He hashtagged a handwritten note. Can you say that again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He hashtagged something.
Hashtagged a handwritten note to me.
Yeah. It's important to do that. It's very important to do that.
Okay.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I just find it very funny.
How are we going to get it trending if we don't start in real life?
That's right.
We don't write it down. God, so I guess I should hashtag it for him. So as I send out this picture of a good morning heckle.
In fact, I think he might have penned your hashtag.
Ooh, he definitely did.
My hashtag. Hashtag.
He is a Coug fan, and I think that just solidifies Cougs are going to lose to Arizona this weekend.
Yeah, man. If you look past the game, it's just like a typical Coug. Going to be worried about the Apple Cup 1 week at a time.
Oh, come on.
1 week at a time.
He just got out on it early. should be noted, Patrick did heckle me when the Astros played his Indians in the, what's it called, ALDS. And it didn't go well for him, but he owned it at the end. He was very respectful afterwards. He likes to run his mouth. He's an S-talker.
Yeah, well,
I like that about Patrick.
Yeah.
You hate it.
I don't hate it. I appreciate it. It's not my kind of thing, but I do appreciate a good person that does that and owns it.
One of the things that will always hold Washington State back is they don't have the mentality of the winner. Right now, that's winner's mentality. They're saying, you know what? Screw you. We're coming for you, Huskies. Doesn't matter if we haven't beat you in 5 years.
And you have a game this week against another team.
Don't worry about that.
Look fans on past.
Hey, you know what? Fans can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want. Just look on past.
I mean, Gardner Minshew didn't write that note to you. He's only hashtagged in it.
And hashtagged it?
He's only hashtagged in it. So I love it. Rivalry weeks are coming. Big rivalry week in the SEC, that big Alabama Citadel rivalry that we've all come to know and love is coming up. This text on the Better You Today text line where you can be a part of the show, 55305. Not all Cougs looking past Arizona, huh? That one has eye on the prize. We have one Coug fan has eye on the prize, Arizona, right in front of him. It is a Thursday, but it is a Laker hate day. Blazer fans already hating the Lakers on the Better You Today text line. We will discuss that.
Yeah.
Our textual relations today. This is kind of a, I don't know what to make of this story, but it's been put out there, so we'll go ahead and do it. Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated said yesterday that he believes Carmelo Anthony will end up in one of two places, the Miami Heat or the Portland Trailblazers.
It's not possible, folks, to be any further apart in the NBA.
Miami and Portland? No.
It's not.
Mm-mm.
They're the two farthest apart teams.
Mm-mm.
So do you like beaches or do you like rain?
I think I know what Melo's answer is, but does Portland, would they embrace a Carmelo Anthony coming to Portland? What value would he bring? That's our textual relations, 55305. We got a lot of NFL to get to. Of course, Clay Helton and his weird statement that his job is safe. Know your foe. Buck will have that at 745. This is our first double repeat of the season where it's Arizona State and Washington.
Get excited.
You got some new ones? You got some good?
No, I just ripped off the old ones again.
Perfect. Yeah, that'll be great. Well, we didn't. I thought we failed miserably on both of these schools the last time
we
played.
I wouldn't even have known it was the school I went to.
Was he? It was. He made it very tough on you.
Very difficult.
Yeah. Was it tough? It was bubblegum? Was that what we learned? Was
was
invented at Washington?
Yeah. And that was when Duck fans said they're never eating bubblegum again, which was a very bold
claim to make.
Oh, take that.
Doubt that's going to happen.
Oh, it's going to hurt to the core.
Yeah. What's going to happen when you have stank breath and you got a hot chick near you?
Altoids.
You're going to be, Altoids?
Best mint other than gum.
Dare I say
you ever
they have
anybody with gum? Very offensive.
Mm-hmm. Just steal it.
Very offensive. Don't ever go in for what? And then they transfer.
Yeah. have you ever had this?
Extremely high school.
Have you had this thought though? Altoids has softened their formula.
Totally.
Do you remember when we were kids, how much it used
to
just like burn your mouth?
Yeah.
Or extremely. Our taste buds have evolved. I've heard that happens over time.
Mm.
Never thought of it that way, but that's potentially true.
I'd like to think that they softened their formula because
I think everybody complained.
Just,
I think there was too intense.
It was like putting rubbing alcohol in your mouth.
Yeah. So here's something that might blow your mind. Altoids have been around almost as long as our country. They were invented in 1780.
Yeah. Beautiful mints.
Stank breath happened then too.
No, I know, but that's a really long time.
When do you think teeth brushing started? And when will the English figure that out?
Well, these were invented in London, so they might have been done in lieu of teeth brushing.
Well, put some sugar in your mouth.
Sporting.
It'd be delicious.
My sporting Altoids.
We can do the hell.
There's at least one
British. Ozzy Osbourne for a second.
There's one British guy out there that's like, I hate this show. I hate you guys so much.
Who are these morons in the morning pretending to be us?
A-holes. Appropriating us.
Right.
But I have an answer to your teeth brushing question.
What do you think people ate?
Well, boiled beef.
No. To make your breath smell good.
Mint. They just chewed on mint.
On mint. My dad used to hand me cinnamon sticks.
That's
he carried around cinnamon sticks.
That's an odd thing to carry around.
Here, have that. Dads used to have pocket knives and cinnamon sticks and cough
mine.
Drops.
Pocket knives, maybe. The cinnamon sticks I haven't heard of.
Not mine.
Maybe it's old school. Here's your witch hazel, kid.
No. Nope.
Cure your problem. That's what he has.
Pocket knives and cinnamon sticks did not fit in my dad's bike coaching shorts back in the day. But I do have an answer to your teeth brushing. I saw something actually 2 days ago that they have found mummies, like Egyptian mummies, that have braces, and they have found early toothbrushes. Oh. So the Egyptians,
like dentistry too.
Ancient Egyptians believed in orthodontics and in brushing your teeth. So
I can believe it.
Ancient Egyptians.
A good smile is never out of date.
Well, yeah, especially for the Egyptian folk.
Sure.
Okay. And there you go. Okay. Let's get this show on the road, shall we? Oh, we're already getting that you're better than that text on the British accent.
I don't care. I don't explain to be British.
You know what?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
Nottingham.
This day in sports history, 1998, Barry Sanders rushes for 100 yards for the 75th time in his career. He ended his career with 76 100-yard rushing games, which is third all-time. Would you like to take a guess on who is one and two? Pretty easy.
Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, number one. 78 times.
Gosh, I should know the next one.
Sweetness.
Oh, of course, it's Walter Payton.
Walter Payton, 77.
Yeah, it was right there.
Here's the deal. Barry did it in far fewer games.
Yeah, he did.
Barry did it in 10 seasons. Walter Payton did it in 12. Emmitt played in 14 seasons. There's only two 100-yard games separating Barry Sanders from number one and number three.
Hey, the only difference between that is the only guy that played for one other team other than his original, Emmitt Smith.
What? Of those three? Yeah.
Of those three?
Yeah.
Everyone else said, I'm not going to go put on another helmet. Emmitt Smith, he wouldn't have put on a Cardinals helmet.
That was tough to watch.
It was hard to watch.
That was very tough.
I played against him during that time.
You did?
This doesn't look right.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
He looked slower because he was slower, and the Cardinals uniform just made him look slower.
It's awful uniform.
All right, 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Thursday night football up in Seattle tonight and right here on the Fan. Seahawks, Packers. Is this an elimination game? 614 on the Fan. All right, I gave you some fake news. The Seahawks-Packers game will not be on the Fan tonight due to Oregon Ducks basketball. Ducks men, 6:15 tip-off against Iowa in the 2K Classic at Madison Square Garden, which means Seahawks-Packers from CenturyLink Field tonight, Thursday night football, will be over on our sister station, ESPN Portland 910. And dare we say this be an elimination game in the playoffs? For the Packers and the...
No, I'm not going to dare it. I'm going to say it.
Seahawks?
You have the Seahawks sitting at 4-5.
Yes.
And you have the Packers sitting at even 4-4-1. That beautiful tie in there. You never know when you need a tie to help you break your tiebreaker. It doesn't matter. Either way, this is an elimination. In my opinion, it's an elimination
game. Obviously a
game.
Tie. You know, a tie.
Yeah, because ties don't matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do. Actually, this tie could mean a lot.
All right.
I mean, it is.
It could. But whatever you're looking at from the Packers' perspective and the Seahawks, Seahawks have been in every game. They've played very well. They've been close. They haven't been blown out. The Packers have been throttled a couple times. They're reeling. They got to go on the road. I always want to pick the team, and we'll get into our picks later. So that isn't the main point. The point of this is you're going to get two very good quarterbacks and two coaches and two staffs that all know here we are in November before Thanksgiving, and we got an elimination game, in my opinion, here.
Yeah.
This
is a big one. I mean, if you look at the teams that the Packers have lost to, it has been to quality opponents. They have lost to the NFC East leading Redskins on the road. The Rams, they lost on the road. And the Packers, they've lost to on the road. They currently, if you look at their record, they're 0-4 in road games this season. They have not been a great road team. They have been perfect at home and have a tie at home.
Obviously a tie, you know, a tie.
And that is something that, you know, obviously bodes well for Seattle. But if you look at that, if Seattle stubs their toe and they lose this game, it not only is a head-to-head tiebreaker in these scenarios coming down to the wild card and how these teams finish, but that is a big home loss in a place where Seattle has been great, not just this year, but for what, over almost two decades now. CenturyLink has been kind of their safe haven and the place where they always know that they can lean on and rely on winning football games, and they do it on a short week where Green Bay has to hit the road.
And if you're going into this season into the NFC North, you couldn't have put it in front of me and said, this is how it's going to shape up right away. We're going to have Chicago leading at 6-3, Minnesota 5-3, very quiet 5-3. Would you call it a boring 5-3, a mediocre 5-3, kind of just treading water, good enough to win group, but then you're sitting with Green Bay at 4-4. That's why I wonder if this experiment, I don't know what this experiment, how it's going to play out for the rest of the season with Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers with that injury early, and then you have Detroit just floundering away, wondering what they're doing, but then you have head coach Matt Patricia giving the we're so lucky to have Matt Stafford as our quarterback. So that whole division is, it's open, but the Bears look like they have it handled. They really do. They look like they're the best defense. They might have, this is really scary to say. They have the best quarterback playing right now, as we stand. Hey, Aaron Rodgers is good. Don't be wrong, but if we're putting it team balanced, not just one side of the football, not just one. We know Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback, but playing right now as a group and as a team, Mitch Trubisky's figured it out.
Their team is playing well, and he's not screwing it up for them.
Nope.
Is a huge one. And that actually, when we're talking about these division races and why the Seattle and Green Bay game is so big this week, is that Minnesota goes to Soldier Field for Sunday Night Football this week. Mm-hmm. And think about the implications of that one. I mean, that one's going to be huge, because if Minnesota ends up beating Chicago, then all of a sudden your wild card becomes that much more clustered where there can be a big separator for Chicago. If they get a win on their home field, they'd improve to 7-3. And then Minnesota's 5-4-1.
Yeah.
And you look at a win for the Seahawks pushes them right up there in that conversation for the wild card spot in the NFC.
Yeah,
that's why this game's so important for both of the Packers and the Seahawks.
It's so important too, because conversely, if you do lose, Seattle goes to 4-6, which means you have the Panthers at 6-3. You're not chasing them behind. And then if you do have Minnesota beat Chicago, that division is tied. So now Minnesota and Chicago are going to alternate. You're already two games behind the second wild card. You're not catching up.
Well, if you lose this game, then you're in the same boat as the Dallas Cowboys, which you
and
are record-wise.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
You're record-wise, you were 4-5 with Philly and in Dallas, but then you're playing catch-up to both of those teams if you fall to 4-6 this week. All the implications in the world are abound, but does it maybe make you feel a little bit more apprehensive if you're a Seahawks fan that the Packers in recent weeks have found a semblance of a running game?
They found a little bit of a running game. I do believe that the Seahawks are number one right now. They have in rushing.
They do lead the NFL in rushing.
And they're good at it, and they're going to ball control this thing. If Seattle had any, I mean, they're coming off a short week. Both teams are coming off a short week, but you only had to fly down to L.A., which is a close call. You're staying at home. You're going to run the football. We know Pete Carroll and the rest of that group and Coach Schottenheimer are going to run the football. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, Rashad Penny had his best game ever. You're going to come into Green Bay. What are they going to do? They're going to have to throw the ball over the yard. Guys are going to be tired. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is coming out today saying, hey, man, it's all about this short week. And he was mentioned. You could tell it was a little bit in his head because he mentioned it. It was, it's tough on us older veterans. We need time off. And we now have to travel. It's a long road trip. I mean, he's setting it up for everything that's in advantage Seattle. It's always advantage home team. But what happened last week when we saw what Pittsburgh did? My goodness. I mean, it was just a drubbing.
The Football Outsiders did their analytics run on the efficiency of Pittsburgh. And in that game, they called it the most efficient game in the NFL's history.
Yeah. Carolina wanted no part of that game. I didn't even know who that team was on Thursday night.
It was brutal. And this is a tough trip going into a hostile environment. When you look at that short week, you want to protect your defense, keep your defense off the field as long as possible in these situations, right? And that's why I asked the question, do you feel a little bit more apprehensive that Green Bay has a semblance of a run game, knowing that running the ball is going to be of the utmost importance in this game? And if you can keep Green Bay's defense off the field, doesn't that bode well for them?
Yeah, probably. I don't know what Green Bay's going to go in. They're going to throw the ball on this. That's what they're going to try to do. I don't know if they're going to try to ground and pound. Maybe they do try to shorten this game and make it easy and not try to get into a pass fest with it. I mean, Russell Wilson needs to play better. He's got to get out of the pocket. He stood in the pocket, had some bad throws and some key turnovers in the game, and even at the end of the game threw a bad pass there when he could have scrambled for it. This team's got a lot of things going on. The Seahawks reported that they're going to get sold here very soon. The reports are from the Seattle Times, they're going to be the record sale. I think the valuation's now at $2.58 billion. The last team to sell were the Carolina Panthers at $2.2. There's a lot of things going up in the air for the Seahawks. I mean, you mentioned yesterday, coach is old. Mm-hmm. He's an old man. Who knows how much longer Pete Carroll's going to want to coach? You just got a lot of things, a lot of questions. And it's been a while since the Seahawks missed the playoffs. So it was last year.
Well, one thing to worry about in this game is K.J. Wright. He is a little bit iffy heading into this one, missing 2 days of practice, last 2 days of practice. It does look like Chris Carson and DJ Fluker, who missed the game Sunday, are ready to go this week.
Ooh, that's good news for Seahawks fans.
That's huge for having both those guys back. But K.J. Wright in that defense, man, we saw the uptick when he returned to the defense. It'll be very interesting to see kind of if he plays, what capacity he is, and if he doesn't play, how that defense kind of melds. Because obviously, his return, you look no further than, you know, the back-to-back wins that they had. It was in large part due to K.J. Wright being back, available, and healthy for this team.
I think we get a good game tonight. I think we get a very good game.
We don't get a repeat of last week.
No, let's hope not.
That's pretty boring. It was actually exciting, but...
Yeah, if you're a fan of the Seahawks, you want that kind of game. I don't think so. I don't think you're going to get that tonight.
You're not going to get it the other way, that's for sure.
No.
When's the last time we saw like a road team blow someone out?
Time we've seen Seattle get blown out? They don't. They're in every game. They're going to be within a touchdown of this game. They just are not the type of team that lets it get out of hand.
No. All right. Check it out over on ESPN Portland, 9:10 tonight, 5:20 kickoff. Packers visiting the clink for the Seahawks. Eliminator in the NFC playoff race because of matchups this week. The pendulum will swing in the NFC playoff picture. Report coming out of a national writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix, says Carmelo Anthony, most likely destinations, the Miami Heat and the Portland Trailblazers. Would you want Melo in Portland? 55305, here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305, the Better You Today text line. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you on this beautiful Thursday morning, the day before. Yesterday, kind of a bombshell dropped by Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated, NBA. He has the rare crossover. NBA / boxing writer. Isn't that kind of odd?
Yeah, I think
he's really good at both, but he covers boxing in the NBA for Sports Illustrated. He said yesterday on the Rich Eisen show that there are two potential landing spots now that there's a falling out that seems irreparable with the Houston Rockets and Carmelo Anthony. One being joining his banana boat buddy, Dwayne Wade, in Miami with the Heat on his swan song and farewell tour. The other a surprise to Portlanders, as he said the Portland Trailblazers are the other option. He listed two and two only, Portland and Miami. How does it sit with you that the Portland Trailblazers are one of those rumored teams?
Oh, that's fine. I really, after watching last night's game and looking at what Carmelo Anthony, this is 2 years ago, remember? Remember the CJ and the conversation with Melo when he was still at New York, and CJ decided to say, oh, I'm just going to recruit Melo. We could use him as a good shooter. And I said it back then. I said, yeah, you'd be nice to have another shooter off the bench or what other type of guy he is. Like, he can't play defense anymore. He's an older player. I don't know what type of locker room guy he is because I don't know enough about it. Whatever it is, it's not working in Houston. What would be the main reason it's not working? Well, he probably still thinks he's a starter.
Yeah. How about this little nugget from 538? And this is, that's the stats company owned by ESPN now. Their Twitter feeds like bounces back and forth between politics and sports with every other tweet. But this one popped up yesterday. And before any of this Manic stuff even surfaced, it was the biggest decline in box score plus minus for qualified NBA players from 1976 to 2019. They took a four-year span.
Yeah.
And this just basically says what your drop-off is.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony has the biggest drop-off in that span of any player to ever play in the NBA. From 1976, since the merger, they're saying, the ABA-NBA merger, until today, his four-year span of a drop-off in plus-minus, the most significant in NBA history.
So it's obvious then.
7.7 points per game, plus-minus, he has dropped.
Well, he's, what, 34 years old. Mm-hmm. Same draft as LeBron.
That's right.
Young player coming out. Has been with a few teams, certainly. What would he add value to? But would he add value to what the Portland is trying to do? I have to just look at it. Goes, what would it hurt? If Vince Carter can still help you get 10, 12 points, I don't have any problem with it. It's not going to be an expensive guy to bring in. You're not locking somebody into what Oklahoma City had to deal with, which was what, 20, 26 million or something they had to get locked in. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't have any problems with it. It's not like after watching last night's game, you went, oh, yeah, I guess we wouldn't have another old guy on the bench that could bring something. It just depends on, does he like rain or does he like the beach?
Well, here's P1J in Beaverton says, first off, Melo has no value in Portland. Second, we don't need an old forward who's a ball hog who won't play defense or run the floor. And I think last night, it's a game against the Lakers, kind of highlighted what the Blazers are missing, and it isn't a guy like Carmelo Anthony. No. Because last night, the Blazers got burnt by the Lakers in part to matchup issues across the floor because you had CJ McCollum having to guard Brandon Ingram because your small forward is Jake Lehman. You have to hide him on Lonzo Ball defensively. They need somebody defensively. Maurice Harkless is what they need.
Well, they need a lot. I mean, come on. We're going to know what this Blazer team is at 10-2, 10-3, and then you get in the second seed, and then finally you get to see when a team starts to gel. They're too small. Too small in the front court. I mean, sorry, in the back court. It's just not. It's not going to happen. You can't guard guys like that. You can't. Brandon Ingram, no matter what, it means he's a thin young man. But my goodness, you can't put CJ there. Every team is going to expose the fact that the Blazers are little, and they're little, and they can't defend.
All right, text 55305. No, Carmelo, he is a disease and lazy. Need a better option. Melo is a walking trash can. We don't need him. He doesn't play defense, and he still tries to come into a locker room like he's a starter.
Yeah.
The chemistry that we have right now is working. I don't see why we would do anything to mess it up just to have a quote-unquote big name in town from P1 Nick.
What's the current worry if you kick the tires on for him the month of December?
And then just cut him?
Yeah, what is the lose for the Blazers?
Yeah.
If he affects team chemistry, you kick him out just like Houston did.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
With Carmelo Anthony, it's, you know, how much money is he on the books for this year? 1.5. Can afford to bring that in. Just,
are you kidding me?
And it's a prorated 1.5.
Prorated 1.5, and it's not. It is a nice little experiment. Maybe he does something. Maybe he gives you a little bit of something.
Yeah. Well, but do you want to bring in a guy who has been known to be divisive?
That's a great question.
I mean, I think
you have to ask your leaders. You have to ask Dame. You'd have to see what CJ feels like, the rest of the guys, and how it's starting to gel. I don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What does the GM bro feel about it?
Who knows? Maybe he can bifurcate between Melo now and Melo back then.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Sure.
You do. You really do, because it's a different player. It's a completely different person at this point.
We want to pontificate about it.
Pontificate, I think that's coming for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was the... Panacea.
Panacea, that's why I'm trying to throw out big words.
What'd that word mean again?
I don't remember.
I already forgot.
No, big words.
55305. There is one person who is saying on the Better You Today text line, heck yes, bring him in. We'll bring up that side of the argument next on The Fan. Hey, Mellencamp. He's coming to the Keller Auditorium April 23rd. Caller number four, 503-250-1080. 503-250-1080. Caller number four is going to see John Mellencamp. A pair of tickets for the April 23rd show at Keller Auditorium. So give us a call. 503-250-1080. Caller number four wins them tickets right there. We're talking Mello. Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated saying yesterday that if you guys go, or he said, goodness gracious, I was reading a text and trying to speak at the same time. It didn't work out. He said that two options for Carmelo Anthony once his time in Houston is done, Miami and Portland. So we're wondering how you feel about Portland. Of course you take Melo if he can accept a 10 to 15 minute a night role off the bench. You're a fool if you don't think and don't know basketball if you wouldn't want a score like that off the bench from TJ. And that is it's Carmelo Anthony. And a lot of people will say, of course, you take a guy who's one of the most prolific scorers that the NBA has seen.
Mm-hmm. Can he still shoot? Yeah. Does he want to shoot a three all the time? Probably not. Does he still have a mid-range game? Okay. What helps the team the most? What helps this Blazer team the most after watching what's it thus far, how good they are, still able to shoot? The Blazers are much improved. In fact, well, I guess concerns about Seth Curry last night. Don't have any reports about his knee and how severe that injury was. That's going to hurt. So now you might have somebody that could be out a while, bench, depth, somebody. I mean, he's not going to, a guy that's a point guard, is going to bring the ball up the court. You have plenty of that.
But he demands to have the ball in his hand, which is an issue.
Okay, and that's the thing is it how much minutes would he be willing to give to a Blazer team?
Yeah. Right now, if you look at it, Melo isn't shooting the ball very well at all. In his 10 minutes per game, he's shooting 40% from the field, 32% from three. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Blazers in their shooting statistics this year, that would be a hint better than Nick Stauskas from the field, but far worse from three than what Nick Stauskas shoots from three. And so he would be around the bottom of your roster from three-point percentage this year. So he is not the same scorer that he has been. But does he still have a little bit in him? I mean, that's for if Terry Stotts think he can get something out of him, I guess that you go and do it.
Just think about 2 years ago when the question was, are you willing to give up, I don't know what it would have been at that point in time, to absorb the one-year rental of that millions and millions and millions of dollars for him. Now you're talking about a prorated salary, which is very inexpensive. What's the risk? What is the main concern if you can kick the tires on this for a little bit? What is the fear? And if he wants to be part of Dame and CJ and the core group here, I personally don't understand the risk. There could be a good reward. If not, you get it out of here and then you move on and then you can go join Miami or you can sidle off and ride off into the sunset and retire because he has gotten old very quickly.
Yeah. And you know what? That happens.
But he doesn't take care of himself like a LeBron James.
I was just going to say, isn't this just a credit to the longevity of LeBron James and how hard it is to be a guy like LeBron or Dwayne Wade? I mean, even Dwayne Wade's career arc has been a natural one. LeBron has been incredible.
Oh, he's unbelievable. It's not fair to compare anybody to him, but you can look at it as a benchmark of what it means to take care of your body at the end. I mean, look at Vince Carter. Vince Carter is seven years older than Carmelo Anthony. Mm-hmm. And probably is just as good right now as we sit. Now, what does that say? Says that he's never been the type of guy that does the extra. Do you look at Carmelo Anthony and say, this guy does the extra? No, he's just a gifted young man that's been very successful. And the career arc is over.
And it's natural.
Of course it is. Happens to everybody.
At the price tag, though, if it's prorated 1.5, I think you may be willing to give it a run. And if you, as you said, if you give it a trial run in December, you can cut him, and then that will likely be the end of Carmelo Anthony's career. But in all likelihood, he'll just get released, and he'll probably go and sign with the Miami Heat, be with his buddy Dwayne Wade, and ride off into the sunset here. Text to the Better You Today text line. The risk is just Carmelo. He had proven he can't play without having the ball in his hands, and he still thinks he is an all-star. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you have to think like that. Just remember this as athletes think, Your mind never stops thinking you're the guy at 22, 23 years old. Your mind never does. LeBron James does it. Charles Barkley did it. Everybody that's a star at one point in time, when you're a top 10 player in the league, your mind always thinks that way. However, your body just doesn't respond, or some of the things start to dwindle. And so if your ego, if you're never able to give up on your ego, I'm worth this, I'm X, I should have this. I'm not going to expect Carmelo Anthony to walk into the Blazers group and say, no, don't give me the basketball, and not stand there and clap for it and want it, because that's just how he's always been. That's never going to change. So asking him to be somebody different is crazy. It's just not.
And this is a decent point on the Better You Today text line. Who goes out if you bring Melo in? And that is a bajillion-dollar question of this Blazers roster and as it's constituted right now. And that's one thing that I think they feel very comfortable and confident is, who's the odd man out then? Who's the guy that you're going to release and give way to? I mean, would it be Wade Baldwin? Or because you're not giving up one of your rookies.
No.
I mean, you're definitely, you're not going to be giving up Anthony Simons. You're not, Stauskas has played a great role. Gary Trent Jr. is a rookie too. You're not going to give up, you know, your role players like Seth Curry, who, and obviously Lehman, who's been a starter for this team. Those are guys that aren't going anywhere. So that's the big question, is where you would give up. And I don't know if they're going to give up their backup, one of their backup point guards. Reality.
Yeah.
Boom. Even though your second unit has Turner with the ball in his hand a ton.
Well, now you're in concern, because with Curry hurt, we don't know what the future holds with him. We don't know how severe that injury is. No reports yet. So you might be needing another backup point guard.
Well, that's true. Or shooting guard.
Somebody.
Guy who can, you
that
can
does hurt
several areas. And so, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with, I have no idea what the heck is going to happen with this. I just think that Mannix, I don't know why Mannix is bringing up Portland, but Miami seems like the most logical destination for him.
Do you think it was because CJ had shown, and there was talks prior about a push to go get him in the past, that there was that kind of interest?
Yeah, you'd want to, like,
why prior to him going to Oklahoma City?
Yeah, because there just isn't a whole lot of teams that would want him. I think I saw the Big Lead had a story that Charlotte would be interested. I have no idea why. Kyrie said, we need a guy who's like a 14 to 15 year vet to navigate us through the regular season and teach us how to pace ourselves.
There you go.
Well, that would be kind of a direct, hey, Melo, billboard, come to Boston. But I doubt we see that happening either. He's going to be wanting to go somewhere where he's going to be comfortable and ride off into the sunset.
I don't believe that he wants to come to Portland. It's just a good report. But if it does, maybe it's a good surprise for a small amount of time.
Yep. All right. 55305, Better You Today text line. Melo, rumored Portland, Miami, the two potential landing spots. We will have a little bit more on that coming up later. Next hour, we got Know Your Foe. What Clay Helton had to say about the reports of his job security. And a little NFL chatter as well. But Hot and Cool is next on The Fan.